Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, Paul's second epistle, his second letter to the church in the city of Thessalonica. I've been preaching through chapter 2, and if you'd like to go there, 2 Thessalonians 2, I want to continue. I'm going to go through this whole chapter, and it's talking about the events that will take place over a period of time just prior to the second coming of Christ, the second coming of the Lord, to come back to gather his church and to judge those who have died in their sins and died in unbelief. And the title of the message today is The Great Deception. The Great Deception. Now, I've dealt with this, if you haven't heard the prior messages, you might want to order them, get them, or look at our website, and you can hear them, or you can order them on DVD or CD. But I've talked about the day of Christ. That's the day of His return. That's in verse 2. False preachers, false apostles had upset this group of believers in Thessalonica, telling them that the day of Christ is at hand, as if in the sense that they said that Christ was coming back in their day. And there have been people since the ascension of Christ, since His death, burial, resurrection, and His ascension into glory, from that time on up to now, there's always been people in each generation who have claimed that Christ was coming back in their day. We've had that in our day. I mentioned a man who wrote a book, which he entitled it by the date. I can't remember the exact date, but it was September something, and several years ago. I think it was 1998. And he said Christ was coming back on this day. Well, it didn't happen. So he rehashed his facts and come up with another date. And that didn't happen. So we've always had that. No one knows the time of the day, the hour. We who believe the gospel, who are true disciples of Christ, we look into the scriptures, we see things happening and unfolding, and we know that as time marches on, we're nearer to the day of His second coming. And that's gospel truth now. You know, if you don't believe that Christ is coming again, you don't believe the gospel. So understand that. So the day of Christ is at hand. Well, people say, well, we're living in the last days, the last times. Well, if you read the New Testament, the last days or the last times, that's existed since Christ came to this earth and did His great work of redemption. And He ascended unto His Father. The New Testament church was inaugurated at Pentecost. And then the gospel began to be preached out unto the world, to the Gentiles. And from that time up to His second coming, in the Bible, is called the last days. John said it. We read it last week in 1 John chapter 2. John said it is the last time. It is the last days. And so that's the day of Christ. Now, we don't know when He's coming. We live in expectation of His coming if we're believers. And so He says the first thing, He says that day's not going to come. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come. Now you might notice if you have a King James Version, which I use, the words that day shall not come is in italics. And what that means is that the original translators of the King James Version, they added that into the original, into the manuscript in order to clarify. And to be frank with you, sometimes they did a good job and sometimes they didn't do so good. But here, here you can see this. You could read it like this. Let no man deceive you by any means, except there come a falling away. Well, what's he talking about? Talking about the day of Christ. That's not coming, except there come a falling away first. And that's a falling away from the truth. A falling away. In other words, here's how it started at Pentecost. Peter and the disciples, the apostles, they preached the gospel. The New Testament church was formed. And it was formed on the ground of the truth of the gospel. How God saves sinners. Now, this is important for today's message. If you're going to understand the great deception, you first have to know what the gospel is. And you have to know what it is not. Basically. The gospel. The word gospel means good news. And so what is the gospel? Well, the Bible tells us very plainly there's only one true gospel, but there are many false gospels. And the Apostle Paul had to contend with that. Back over in the book of Galatians, he spoke of that. He talked about in Galatians chapter 1, listen to this, verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, in the original language, in the ancient Greek language, when you see that word another, you might see it several times in the New Testament. And there are two different Greek words. One word that's translated another means another of the same kind. For example, when Christ told his disciples in John chapter 16 that he was going to send another comforter. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That word there in the book of John chapter 16, I believe it's verse 8, 7 or 8, I can't remember exactly. But that another comforter is another of the same kind, speaking of the Holy Spirit, who is by nature the third person of the Godhead. The same kind as the Son, who is the second person of the Godhead. The same kind as the Father, who is the first person of the Godhead. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. Now, not three gods, but one God in three persons. So that he said another comforter, another of the same kind. But there is another word, if you will, in the Greek language, translated, quote, another, unquote. That means another of a different kind. In other words, it's not the same kind. It's a different kind. And that's the word Paul uses here in Galatians 1:6. Another gospel. Not another gospel of the same kind. Another gospel of a different kind. And that's important because, you know, we have so many different views of Christianity today. We have so many denominations that preach different things. Actually, now listen to me, actually that preach different gospels. But they're not another gospel of the same kind. There are gospels of a different kind. And so Paul, and I'll be explaining that. Well, what's he talking about? Well, listen on. He says in verse 7, he says, which is not another, that is not another of the same kind. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now he's talking about not just people who stand up and openly deny Christ. These are people who claim to be Christians. People who claim to be preaching Christ. People who claim to be preaching the gospel. And so we need to understand that. These are not just open professions that we do not believe in Christ. These false preachers who were preaching another gospel of a different kind claim to be preaching Christ. They perverted the gospel of Christ. But here's what Paul says in verse 8. Now listen to this very, very carefully. You have to understand how to think biblically. And this is one of those verses that teaches us that. He says in verse 8, but though we... Now, who's the we there? Well, Paul would be referring to himself as an apostle. Peter, James, John. If Paul came along, or Peter came along, or James came along, or an angel from heaven. If an angel from heaven, what is an angel from heaven? That's a messenger. And he says, but if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, which is already preached unto you, let him be accursed. In other words, he is not a true minister of God. I don't care if he's the apostle Paul. Paul preached the true gospel. Peter preached the true gospel. But if later on they came along and preached another gospel of a different kind, you're not to look at him and say, well, I know he's right because he's Paul. No, you're not to do that. You're to say anathema. That's a curse. That's a false gospel. Or if an angel from heaven. What he's talking about is the two things that probably hinder most people in seeking the truth. You know what it is? It's respect of persons. Oh, I know he wouldn't lie to me. He's brother so-and-so. He's been in this 40 years, you know. He's a famous preacher. He's got a lot of followers. Huh? Well, it doesn't matter if he preaches another gospel. Let him be anathema. So respect of persons. And then secondly, impressive outward appearance. An angel from heaven. Could you imagine seeing an angel from heaven? I've never seen one. I know people claim they've seen one. Used to be this TV program, Touched by an Angel. I watched it a couple of times. Still haven't seen an angel. There are angels. God has attending angels for His people. His angels appeared in the Old Testament and did marvelous things. They do marvelous things now by God's grace and power to His people. But here's the thing. If you did see an angel, but that angel brought another gospel, let him be anathema. Can you think like that? That's hard. You know what it takes for a sinner to think like that? It takes the Spirit of God in power. What are we to judge by? The Word of God. Now with that in mind, go back to 2 Thessalonians 2. He talks about a falling away from the truth. Now here's how the church started. But over the years, in the last days, in the New Testament days, over the years, there's been a great apostasy, a falling away from the truth. And what that means is he's talking about those who claim to be Christian, but they deny the doctrine of Christ. They deny the true gospel. They preach another gospel. And what's that all about? Well, that's preaching a message that places salvation at some stage, to some degree, in some way, upon sinners and not upon Christ alone. What is the gospel? Well, it's all through the Bible. The gospel is the good news of how God saves sinners by His grace, through the merits of the obedience unto death, the power of His death, the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul began that book by talking about the gospel of God, which concerns a person. And who is that person? He is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man in one person. Now, anybody who comes along and claims to preach the gospel, but who denies either the deity or the sinless humanity of Christ, is preaching another gospel. There's a whole denomination who calls himself Christian, and they're very zealous, who denies the deity of Christ. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny the deity of Christ. Well, Christ claimed to be God. God-man, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. So to claim to be his follower and to believe in him, but to deny his deity, is a falling away from the truth. It's another gospel. Now understand me, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not just picking on one group. I'm telling you. And there are people today in other denominations who don't understand that Christ is both God and man in one person. He is God manifest in the flesh. And then the second thing that Paul talks about concerning Christ is his death, burial, and resurrection. Not just the historical fact of it, but what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. And what did he accomplish? He didn't try to save everybody. The Bible doesn't teach that. I know that's offensive to many people, but I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that he died, he was buried, he arose again the third day to save his people from their sins. His name, Matthew 1:21, his name shall be called Jesus. What does that mean? It means salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23, which being interpreted is God with us. So Christ is God with us, who saves his people from their sins as the surety of his people, a people whom God gave him before the foundation of the world. That's why he said it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, this is the Father's will, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And he says in Romans 1:16 and 17, Paul writes, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also, Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, anyone who believes it, and that's by the power of God. Verse 17, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, from the preaching of that gospel to those who believe it by God-given faith, as it is written, the justified, shall live by faith. How do we live by faith? By looking to Christ, resting in Christ, who he is and what he did. What is the righteousness of God? It's the entire merit, worth, value, power of the obedience unto death of Christ as the surety of his people. Christ went to the cross for the sins of his people. They were imputed, charged, accounted to him. He was made sin in that sense, a sin offering, a sin bearer. And he didn't do that for all without exception. He did it for his people. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And he went to the cross and he substituted himself in his holy humanity, God in human flesh, went to that cross and died to pay the sin debt of his people. What is the debt? When we fell in Adam into sin and death, what is the debt that must be paid? The wages of sin is death. He had to die as the substitute and the surety of his people, and what he accomplished was their redemption. He bought them back, and they shall be saved. And the righteousness of God is his righteousness, which God has imputed, charged, accounted to them. And his righteousness, as evidenced by his resurrection, is the source and the power of spiritual life and glory. They'll be born again. They will be saved. This is how God saves sinners. This is how God justifies, forgives, and declares righteous the ungodly. It's not based on our works or our decision. It's not based on our believing. We do. Listen, if Christ died for us, I'm going to preach on this later on. If Christ died for my sins, then at some point in time, the time which God has appointed, he's going to bring me under the gospel and he's going to birth me again spiritually from above, and give me faith to believe and repentance of dead works. He's going to cause me to persevere in the faith. That's salvation. Now, in order to understand what I'm talking about in these messages on the great deception, that gospel has to be the rule, the measure that is laid down in order for us to know the difference between what the Bible calls good, which is the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's grace, and evil, which is any other message. So he says, now let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 2. There's going to come a great falling away, and that's a falling away from the truth. And he says that man of sin must be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction. I talked about that last week. The man of sin, that's Antichrist. And many people are convinced that's one man who arises on the political scene or the religious scene and then fools everybody. I believe it's not one man. I believe it's a succession of false preachers and false religious leaders. But here's the thing about it. Don't get your mind set on believing it's one man or even whatever. The key to understanding this man of sin, the son of perdition, is what is his message? What does he preach? And the issue has to do with salvation now. It doesn't have to do with politics. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. Libertarian, whatever. This, the man of sin, his message. And I showed you every place where the term Antichrist is used in the New Testament. And it was never referring to one man, but it was always referring to a spirit that pervades the religion of false professors, those who have fallen away. And I believe that's what it is, and I believe that's what it'll be until Christ returns. But the key to understanding this man of sin is what is his message. And if you look at verse 4, this son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or all that is of God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Claiming that he is God. Now you say, well, now that's just going to be a guy who comes along and has a great following in the world and he's going to claim to be God. Well, I don't believe that's what it's talking about, but okay. Now think about this. This is the great deception. I'm going to preach on this next week too, so I'm going to go back into these things in more detail and show you. First of all, what is the temple of God? Now most people will look, or a lot of people rather, will look towards a physical building that they're going to rebuild in Jerusalem. In the New Testament, the temple of God is the church of the living God. And as we read the Bible, we understand that there are churches, that is local bodies of believers, scattered about the world, and collectively, now the true churches are those who preach the gospel. You're going to a church maybe. Okay? A local body. How do you know it's a true church? Or are you being deceived? Well, what gospel do they preach? And as I told you, now I've laid out the gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is written, wherein it tells us how God justifies, that is, forgives and declares righteous sinners. Okay? And it's salvation conditioned totally, exclusively on Christ, who fulfilled those conditions as God in human flesh, the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people. It's salvation totally conditioned on Christ, who himself, by himself, for his people, fulfilled all the requirements to save them from their sins and secure their salvation unto glory. Now that's a true church. But now a false church, a false Christianity, a false gospel is any message of salvation that is conditioned in some way, to some degree, in at some stage, on sinners. It's up to you. You make the difference. Now, that's basically what it is. Now, we could talk about details on a lot of these churches. But any church that preaches that the only way you can be saved is by you doing something, you making the difference, whether it's believing, repenting, baptism, or whatever, that's a false church. Now, does that mean that God's people are not to believe? No, we are to believe. Believing is required, but not as a condition in order to attain or maintain salvation. Christ did that. We don't believe that our believing is a condition we meet in order to be saved. We believe in Christ who fulfilled all conditions. Now you may say I'm splitting hairs there, but I'm telling you, this deception is so close. Remember I read in Matthew chapter 24 in the last couple of weeks, how Christ said that some would be so close that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect, the elect of God. But thank God that the elect will not, they start out deceived, but they won't remain deceived. God's going to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. So here's this great deception. And I want to go into more detail about it next week. But listen, here's this son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself among all that is God. Well, what does he oppose? Well, he opposes the gospel. He preaches another gospel. Whether he's one man, or whether he's a succession of men, or a spirit. He inspires, he condones, he promotes another gospel. And remember what Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach, let him be anathema. Don't be deceived in the great deception. I'll pick up here next week. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.